Transylvania University Department of Theater presents the second installment of Carmilla, a Vampirus radio play adapted by Ali Amade, original story by J. Sheridan LaFanu.
Yana, what shall it be?
Blindiku?
Blind man's buff it is. I suppose that you want to go first.
Don't I always? Give me that scarf for my eyes.
All right then. I spin you around once, twice, thrice. Mind us if you can, blind man.
Andre, who is there? I hear you. I'm going to catch you. I've caught you. Oh, who is this? You are not my husband.
Yana, you're bleeding. Who did this? Help! Help me!
Who fire?
Come in. Carmilla.
That's a lovely little treasure. May I?
My mother gave it to me. Do you like it? It helps me sleep at night. When I hear it, I imagine that she is watching over me. The doctor thinks that you ought to have someone sit up with you at night. Or you could stay in my room.
Kind of you, but I could not sleep then. I never could with an attendant in the room. I shan't require any assistance.
But why?
Shall I confess my weakness to you so soon?
Oh, yes, confess.
I am haunted with the terror of robbers.
I assure you, there have not been highwaymen or vandals in these parts for years. The people here are very loyal to my father, who has granted them free use of the land and woods for hunting and for their camps. We are as safe as kittens.
You are lucky, then. Our house was robbed once, a family jewels stolen, and two servants murdered. I barely escaped with my life.
Oh, dear. How awful.
So I always lock my door. It is a habit that has turned to ritual for me, and you look so kind, I know you will forgive me.
Your life is so diametrically different than mine, Carmilla. I feel you have had more experiences in your short years than I will have in my entire lifetime.
My years are not as short as they seem, and yours may turn out to be longer and more exciting than you can even imagine right now.
I should hope so, but robbers and family jewels. My curiosity is restless and unscrupulous, though we only just met.
Oh, but we are old friends in our dreams.
Yes, I want to know everything about you.
Sadly, I cannot appease you there.
No one girl can endure baffling by another.
I assure you, I can divulge nothing connected to my life, my mother, history, anything.
But what harm could it do to tell me what I so ardently desire to know? Have you no trust in my sense of honor? I swear I won't tell a soul.
Living or dead?
Neither man nor immortal shall know your secrets. Not even the mouse in my wall.
Oh, how can one resist? Your fine eyes are like thumb screws. I cannot stand your torture, Mademoiselle Inquisitor. I can tell you 3 things.
Yes?
My name is Carmilla. My family is very ancient and noble. And my home lies in the direction of the west.
Vague disclosures, at best. I see that you are to be the queen, and I your fool.
A lovely fool, at that. I wish I could ease your curiosity, my dear new friend, but you really do not want to know.
That only increases my desire to know. Not even a hint? Your armorial bearings, family crest?
No, dearest. Think me not cruel because I obey the irresistible law that is my strength and weakness. The safety of my family is my utmost concern. But if your dear heart is wounded, my wild heart bleeds with yours. So, for a while, seek to know no more of me and mine, but trust me with all of your loving spirit. What is that racket outside?
Don't be alarmed. It's just the tinker. He's a friend. Martin often comes to visit at my bedroom window. Hello there, good mountebank. Have you your magic lanterns blazing this evening and your boxes filled with supernatural wonders?
Good evening, fair ladies. Yes, Miss Laura. My trusty roaming cabinet of curiosities is with me as always. Shall I serenade you lovely ladies this fine evening? It was the lover and her lass that o'er the green cornfield did pass, when birds do sing, hey ding-a-ding-ding, sweet lovers love the spring. Between the acres of rye, these pretty folks would lie, when birds do sing, hey ding-a-ding-ding, sweet lovers love the spring. This carol that began that hour, how life was all a bud of flower, when birds do sing, hey ding-a-ding-ding, sweet lovers love the spring. Take the present time, for love is crowned with the prime, when birds do sing, hey ding-a-ding-ding, sweet lovers love the spring.
That was very nice, Martin. Thank you.
Will your ladyships be pleased to buy an amulet against the upire, which is going, like the wolf I hear, through these woods?
Upire? Really, Martin? You will not scare us with your silly folk tales, nor convince us to buy your trinkets.
The upire is a horrible beast that stalks the night, leaving a trail of cursed victims in its wake. Tonight, the ranger's wife was attacked by the fiend. They say he has the head of a cat, the body of a goat, and the breath and teeth of a wolf. Here is a charm that never fails. It will protect you from the beast. Only pin it to your pillow, and you may laugh in his face. It may save your life.
I'll take one, and one for my friend as well.
Carmilla, I'm surprised. You do not seem the superstitious type.
I believe the night keeps its secrets from the moon.
See, Miss Laura, your new friend is both wise and lovely.
Your fool thinks me wise.
And here I thought myself to be fortune's fool.
Here, I put them in this basket on my walking stick. I will hold it steady now.
I have them.
Now pin them to your ropes. Plague take the dog! Silence, beast! He howls that your ladyships can scarcely hear a word. Miss Laura, your noble friend, the young lady at your right, has the sharpest tooth. Long, thin, pointed, like an awl, like a needle.
Martin!
See here, my lady, I'll profess, among other things less useful, the art of dentistry. With my sharp and long sight as I look up, I have seen it distinctly. Now if it happens to hurt the young lady, and I think it must, here I am. Here are my file, my punch, my nippers. I'll make it round and blunt, if her ladyship pleases. No longer the tooth of a fish, but of a beautiful young lady as she is.
How dare this mountebank insult us so? Where is your father? I shall demand redress from him.
Hey, is the young lady displeased? Have I been too bold? Have I offended her?
My father would have had the wretch burnt to the bones with the castle brand.
Carmilla! He means no harm. Martin is a dear friend to my family.
I am very sorry, your ladyships. Good, good ladies, I bid your farewell, but I will come back next week to fix your pots and perhaps bring a small bouquet of penance for the young lady.
Your apology is accepted, dear Martin. Farewell.
Farewell, ladies.
Don't be angry with him, Carmilla. He is a sensitive soul.
He needs to learn his place.
I can tell you are accustomed to a more refined lifestyle.
Oh, should I embrace the more provincial spirit?
Now you are mocking me.
No, no, my dear. You are right. Shall he come again this way tomorrow?
Perhaps. We never know when or where Martin might appear. He is a jolly soul, and when you are as isolated out here in the wilds of Styria as we are, any source of diversion is welcome. He is right, though. You do have the pointiest teeth I have ever seen on a girl.
The better to eat you with.
I confess that I am finding it difficult to keep up with your tempestuous spirits.
I do feel a bit out of sorts, but then it has been a most trying time for me. The accident, my mother's departure, and here, finding you again.
Are you sure you will have no servant stay up with you?
There is no need. As long as there is a lock and a key, then I will be more than fine. Good night, darling. It is so very hard to part with you, but good night. Tomorrow, but not early, I shall see you again.
Good night.
Pardon me. Oh, Miss Carmilla. I came to help Miss Lauda to bed. I can help you next.
Kind of you, but that won't be necessary. Good night, ladies. Until tomorrow.
Well, what do you think of her?
She's lovely. I feel as though I already know her, yet there is something in her manner I find most strange. Is it odd to be both drawn to a person, yet also repelled by them?
Oh, my sweet girl. You young people like, even love, on impulse. Give your heart some time to find a sturdy perch before you leap.
Carmilla, you've not had a single bite of anything from this picnic basket. In fact, I have not seen you eat anything since you've arrived a week ago.
Ah, the latest Paris fashions demand it, or so I am told. I go my own way in everything, despite what the mode de Parisienne says is fashionable.
You are teasing me again, and you will make me quite self-conscious. I have no idea what the latest modes of style are, nor do I have the will to resist Madame Peridon's marvelous scones. It seems I will be damned to my simple, uncorseted country frocks forever.
Oh, be happy for that. The softness of your form is more pleasing anyway. There is no need to imprison your beauty in miles of material and little iron maidens like they would have you do.
They?
Oh, society. Fashion. Men. We can exist outside of what's normal and proper.
Easy for you to say. You clearly are in possession of a wealth and station that far exceeds my expectations. If my poor father passes before I am wed, I will be living with the peasants in the woods, or taking care of Martin's moldy monster menagerie.
You could come with me. You could be mine.
I don't understand.
You could be mine. You and I. One forever.
But what can you mean by all this? Do I remind you of someone whom you love? But you must not. I hate it. I don't know you. I don't know myself. When you look so and talk so, are you here as a disguise and a romance? I've read in old storybooks of such things.
You think I am a boyish lover that has found his way into your house and sought to prosecute my suit in masquerade?
Now you are teasing me again. Highly interesting as this intrigue is to my vanity, I confess that I have had no experience with masculine gallantry delights.
You are lucky, then.
Come now. You've surely had many suitors, stunning as you are.
You think I'm stunning?
Yes, and you know you are beautiful. Do not attempt to appease me with false modesty. I cannot be tricked so easily. I bet your dance card was never empty.
As always, you are very wise, Laura. Though I've never been short of admirers, I've rarely had use for them. And what of your dance card?
I can barely dance and have never attended a single ball. Lest you count a silly jig with Martin, or a wild night where I secreted out of the chateau to spy on one of the peasant harvest moon dances.
That is a gross injustice, but I must say I would be flattered to be the first suitor on your dance card. Stand up, I will teach you. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Now you have waltzed. Da-dum-dee, da-dum-dee, da-dum-dee.
I feel as though a tree stump has more grace.
Ooh, now we polka. Oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa.
The funeral procession. How sad.
Oh, don't you perceive how discordant that is?
I think it very sweet, on the contrary.
Oh, it pierces my ears.
It's just their version of the Lord's Prayer, paving the way for the ranger's wife to enter heaven.
Besides, how can you even tell that your religion and theirs are the same?
What?
I hate funerals. What a fuss. You must die, everyone must die, and all are happier when they do. Come home.
Miss Laura, your father wanted me to tell you that he has already gone on with the clergyman to the churchyard and would like you to join him there.
But what of our walk?
I thought you knew the ranger's wife was to be buried today.
I don't trouble my head about peasants. I don't even know who she is.
She was the poor woman who fancied she saw a ghost a fortnight ago and has been dying ever since.
She expired yesterday.
Oh, tell me nothing about ghosts. I shan't sleep tonight if you do.
I hope there is no plague or fever coming.
The swineherd's wife died only a week ago, and she thought something seized her by the throat as she lay in her bed and nearly strangled her.
Papa says such horrible fancies do accompany some forms of fever. She was quite well the day before, but she sank afterwards and died before a week. Martin, what were those tools that the ranger carried?
Preventative measures.
Preventing what?
The Upar's curse. They will drive a hawthorn stake through her heart and stuff her mouth with garlic.
How awful! He would do that to his own wife.
Barbaric!
It is the only way to be sure. We must nail down the dead to prevent them from returning to prey on the living. Good day, ladies.
Well, her funeral is over and the hymn sung, and our ears shan't be tortured with that discord and jargon. All this talk of death has made me nervous.
Yes, never was seen so black a day as this.
Sit down here, beside me.
All right.
Sit closer. Hold my hand. Press it hard.
Carmilla, are you ill? Are you having some sort of fit?
There. It is passing away.
Should I call for the doctor?
No, I'm perfectly fine now. That comes of strangling people with hymns. Well, what shall we do with the rest of this glorious day?
There's been another case, I'm afraid. The sister of a young peasant on my estate, only a mile away, is very ill, and as she describes it, attacked very nearly in the same way as the two fatal deaths, and is now steadily sinking.
Was she able to describe the villain?
Of course not. Because all this talk of a ghostly figure and monstrous creatures is strictly referable to natural causes. These poor people infect one another with their superstitions, and so repeat in imagination the images of terror that have infested their neighbors.
But that very circumstance frightens one horribly, as the imagination can be so very frightening.
How so, Miss Carmilla?
There are some that live in abject terror of encountering something outside of their small sphere of understanding. So much so that seeing or experiencing what is other would shatter all that they believe and know to be true. For those people, fancying that they see such things, I think it would be as bad as reality.
Then take comfort, Miss Carmilla, in knowing that we are in God's hands. Nothing can happen without his permission, and all will end well for those who love him. He is our faithful creator. He has made us all and will take care of us.
Creator? Nature, so you believe that this disease that invades the country is natural? All things proceed from nature, don't they? All things in the heaven, in the earth, and under the earth act and live as nature ordains? I think so, but somehow I doubt you would agree with what I think is natural. Man perverts what is natural, lording over nature through suppression, forcing submission, and then rejection of what you don't understand.
Carmilla!
That is quite enough. You're a very opinionated young woman, Miss Carmilla, and thereby hangs a tale. I wager your future husband will have a daunting task making you believe that the moon hangs where the sun looms.
What do you think is happening, Doctor?
I hate to admit it, but I am baffled.
Both doctors and grooms never did me any good. There are so many things for which they have no cure.
You've been ill?
More ill than ever you were. As a matter of fact, I also suffered from this very natural illness when I was young.
Do you recall the remedy? How did you recover?
Oh, it was so long ago. People say I am languid, incapable of exertion, and every now and then the little strength I have falters. But, after all, I am very easily set up again. In a moment, I am perfectly myself. You've seen how I recover. Let us talk no more of it.
Very well, Miss Carmilla. My good man, can I speak to you in private for a moment?
Why does your father like to frighten us?
He doesn't, dear Carmilla. It is the very furthest thing from his mind.
Are you afraid, dearest?
I should be very much, if I fancied there was any real danger of my being attacked as those poor people were.
You are afraid to die?
Yes, everyone is. Aren't you?
But to die as lovers may...
Like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, to die together, so that we may live together. Girls are caterpillars while they live in the world of men, to be finally butterflies when the summer comes and they are gone.
Father's friend, the general, collects butterflies to exhibit. He has them pinned to a board in his library. They are quite beautiful.
From what I know of him, he would have you exhibited there as well, trapping you down with a pin through your breast. We butterflies must learn the defenses of the cunning moths, with wings still beautiful but poisonous to predators. We moths are able to float above the grubs and larvae, don't you see?
Vampires? My dear doctor, you are a skillful man, but I do have to wonder if that wig powder has seeped into your brain pan.
I am only telling you what the peasants are saying, misguided though they are.
What do you say to hippogriffs and dragons?
Nevertheless, life and death are mysterious states, and we know little of the resources of either. You should arm yourself and protect your family. Something has been unleashed in these parts. It would be a grave folly to think your station makes you more immune than the poor villagers.
That must be the ranger returning with Monsieur Henri and his paintings. I'll see them in.
Excellent. Yes, bring them in.
Good evening. I am happy to see you all again.
Excellent. How are the results, Henri?
I think you will be most pleased, sir. Observe this one, the Count Rodrigo of Karnstein.
Yes. Very good. Grumpy-looking fellow, isn't he?
What's that he's holding?
I think it might be a sheep, maybe.
Aren't they always? I swear every one of these paintings features a dark, brooding man with a very large mustache and very scary-looking sword, holding either a dog, horse, or a sheep.
I think this one has all three.
Oh, a trifecta. A very good omen, my dear.
Father, where is Mother's portrait? I want to show it to Carmilla.
Here it is, mademoiselle.
Oh, she was lovely. Such a good painting, too. I wish I could paint. I am positively miserable with a brush. I can barely manage a simple daisy.
It is a skill that can be learned. I could teach you.
Teach her pedestrian parlor works, Or maybe the highly skilled art of restoring the paintings of those who actually have talent.
Carmilla! Pay no mind to her, Monsieur Henri. She is sulking. Carmilla demands all my attention, and when she does not receive it, she pouts fiercely. Look at this painting, Carmilla. Do you recognize it from your dream?
Yes, I know the face well, from the dream and elsewhere. It is a face which haunts me more than I can say.
She was truly a lovely lady.
God rest her soul.
If you would like, and your father would consent, I could return in the fall for private painting lessons.
Really? Papa, can I have lessons?
Of course, my dear. Henri, there is a picture I have not yet seen, a number 12. I'm curious to see how this turned out.
Ah, yes. I wanted to save the best for last. Would you like the honor, sir?
Oh, no, let me, Papa.
By all means. This painting was your mother's favorite.
Oh, really? Who was it?
Some distant relative, I imagine. The name on the portrait, as far as I remember, was a Marcia Karnstein, I think from the 17th century. But it was so blackened by age that one could barely make it out. She used to stare at it for hours, though.
Did she? How sweet.
You will find the piece quite changed, sir. If I do say so myself, my father and I did a meticulous restoration of the portrait. The original artist was quite skilled, or perhaps it was the exquisite subject matter that has made for such a splendid piece.
Oh, my.
Breathtaking, isn't it? But don't you like it? Look at the detail that has been revealed. The intensity of the expression. The spark in the eyes. It seems to live. To know you.
Carmilla, dear. Here is an absolute miracle. Look. It could be a painting of you. There you are. Living, smiling, ready to speak. In this picture. Isn't it beautiful, Papa? And see, even the little mole on her throat.
Certainly is a wonderful likeness.
Can I have it, Father? I'd like to hang it in my room.
Of course, child. Unlike your mother, you are sometimes.
She loved this painting, and I love it too.
I'm very glad that you like it. See here. Now you can read quite plainly the name that is written in the corner. It looks as if it was done in gold, but the name is not Marcia. It reads Mercalla. Countess Karnstein, and the little coronet underneath it dates it to 1668.
That's wonderful. Did you know that I am descended from the Karnsteins? That is, Mama was. Can you show me more? However did you get off all that soot?
Patience. I never knew that you had such an interest in the art of restoration, Mademoiselle Laura.
Oh, she doesn't. Who would? Yes. Karnstein. Tell me, are there many descended from the Karnsteins?
The Ranger might know. Andre, are there any Karnsteins living now?
None who bear the name.
Laura's mother was the last that I knew.
The family was killed in a civil war long ago, but the ruins of the castle are only 3 miles away. I am descended from the very same people who fought to overthrow the Karnsteins.
How interesting.
Miss Carmilla, have you had any word from your mother? I believe she said her business would be completed in a fortnight.
No.
Might you know where a letter may reach her?
I cannot tell, but I have been thinking of leaving you all. You have been already too hospitable and too kind to me. I have given you an infinity of trouble, and I should wish to take a carriage tomorrow in pursuit of her. I know where I shall ultimately find her, although I dare not yet tell you.
If you know where she might be, then perhaps Monsieur Henri can bring a letter to her during her deliverance.
I would be most happy to do this service for you, Mademoiselle. I am off to Vienna next, but I am free to go anywhere after that. I am hoping to return here for those lessons as soon as it's convenient.
Oh, that is unnecessary. I will go myself. I have grown tired of being a burden on you.
But you must not dream of any such thing. We can't afford to lose you so.
And I won't consent to your leaving us except under the care of your mother.
We would all be quite happy if we knew that you'd heard from her. It is quite worrying.
With accounts of this mysterious disease invading our neighborhood growing ever more alarming, It would be unsafe for a young lady to travel any distance.
Oh, you've all been too kind to me. I have seldom been so happy in all my life before, as in your beautiful chateau, under your care, and in the society of your dear daughter.
You're quite welcome, Carmilla.
Well, I must be on my way.
Nonsense, Henri. You must stay for dinner.
I don't want to impose.
Don't be silly. Please stay. I want to hear more about painting.
Oh, Monsieur Henri, I must thank you for your gracious offer of help.
But of course.
What is wrong, Monsieur Henri? You look transfixed.
The resemblance to the painting is remarkable.
You will make me blush, sir. I'm very sorry you have to leave.
I have to leave.
What?
Yes, the moon is high and you have such a long trip ahead of you.
The moon?
Just look at that beautiful moonlight. See how it reflects off the still water of the pond. You could drown in its beauty.
Drown in its beauty.
It's a glorious night to take a little ramble round the pond, but I am sure you must be on your way now.
What beautiful moonlight! I must be on my way now.
You're leaving? Won't you stay for dinner? Henri!
Pay no mind to him, miss. Young men are just as prone to flights of fancy and bouts of brooding as you young ladies.
Feast your eyes upon that moon out the window instead.
It is lovely, and so like the night that you came to us.
Shall we walk in the moonlight? What a beautiful night.
It is splendid, though Madame Perrodon would scold us for being without our bonnets on such a night. Did you hear that?
Surely it was just an animal, not worth your attentions. Earlier, you spoke of the evening I came here. I think of that night often.
Oh, I'm sorry if I've reminded you of what must be a painful event for you. You were separated from your family, but I was fortunate to gain a friend that night.
And so you were glad I came?
Delighted, dear Carmilla.
And you asked for the picture you think like me to hang in your room, so that the visage of me can watch you while you sleep?
How romantic you are, Carmilla. Whenever you decide to tell me your story, it will be made up chiefly of some one great romance.
I hate to disappoint you, my dear, but I have little experience with romance until I met you.
I have never been kissed before.
I have been wanting to do that for some time now.
I am sure, Carmilla, you have been in love. But there is, at this very moment, an affair of the heart going on.
I have been in love with no one, and never shall, unless it shall be with you.
How beautiful you look in the moonlight.
This was not supposed to happen. Not my plan. I find it useless to fight it anymore.
Fight what?
Darling, I live in you. And you must die for me. I love you so.
What do you mean?
I now live in your warm life. And you shall die, sweetly die into mine. I cannot help it. As I draw near to you, in your turn, you will draw near to others and learn the rapture of that cruelty, which yet is love. That shabby artist, the general, some man in the woods that takes you unexpected and unwanted.
You speak in strange riddles again.
I'm sorry. I cannot help myself around you. I wish you would accept me instead.
Carmilla, will you kiss me again?
So you will join me? Accept me?
Yes.
Close your eyes, my dear.
What are you doing? Your wrist! You bit it! You're bleeding!
This will only hurt for a moment. Look into my eyes. I have now tasted your sweet blood, giving you the kiss of eternal life. Now you must drink mine and we wait for the change. Then we will never be parted.
Is there a chill in the air, dear? You look ill, Carmilla, a little faint. You certainly must take some wine. It seems I've spilt some on my dress.
Stay back, Laura. Come no further. We are being hunted.
Why, Grandma, what sharp teeth you have.
Laura!
Berta, we meet again. So it was you stalking the peasants? You've come for vengeance now.
You cannot have my daughter.
I will put you both out of your misery.
No! For God, what happened?
Please, you're gone!
Banker, the banker is drowned!
Berta, we must away. The men are coming.
Mama? Mama, is that you? What is happening?
My dear Laura, your mother warns you to beware the assassin.
Get away from her! Laura is mine now. There. They're gone now, my love. Here, now you must drink my blood to start the change.
No!
Let us look again at the moonlight.
What are you? What are you? Are you a monster? Get away from me!
I have to go. I will be back for you.
Laura, my child, you're bleeding!
Mama was here!
She's been attacked! We must get her indoors swiftly!
What has happened? What is going on here? First the painter found dead in the pond, and now my poor daughter attacked!
Will you now believe me, man?
It is the Upaya stalking the wood!
Laura, where is Carmilla?
Monster! She is gone.
Join us next week for the third and final installment of Carmilla, a Vampirist radio play presented by the Transylvania University Department of Theater. Thank you.